This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Melissa Moretti.
And Melissa, before we get started, have we turned our mics on?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, no, we're it's summertime. Yeah. Things aren't moving at the same pace. Yeah. You know, we're a little sluggish here. Coffee
you
hasn't kicked in.
You woke up at 4:30 instead of 3:30.
4:30 on Mondays. Yeah,
I've slept in.
I'm slacking in the summer months. I changed my time of wake up to 4:30 on Mondays. And then I try to do 3:30 the rest of the week because Mondays I find it really sluggish after the weekend chasing the kids. So
right.
I'm falling behind pace, but I do 4:30 on Mondays now.
All right.
So big news this past week. You're looking at me like you don't know.
What's the news?
The BOC dropped their rates.
Oh my God.
We haven't had a show since then. So the
of
BOC
course.
Dropped their rates.
That's
25
right.
basis points. So we're down two consecutive months in a row now.
Yeah.
So down 50 basis points from the June and July meeting.
Yep.
Depending on what you read, mm-hmm. there's a lot of optimism in them that we might have another 50 basis points to go in this calendar year. I was reading a report, I believe it was from Scotia,
mm-hmm.
that they think there's another 50 basis points coming by December of 2024. So that would be a whole 100 basis points down since June, which would be tremendous. But one thing I'm curious to get your thoughts on is obviously I follow the residential stats, but mm-hmm. I don't follow them in the detail that you do. Inventory levels seem to be way up.
Yes.
The sales don't seem to match the growing inventory we have. I have my own philosophy on why that is, but I'd be curious to get on your take. Inventory is mounting. Sales aren't mounting. Are people buying right now?
People are still buying. I would say less so than in other spring markets.
Okay.
You know, inventory definitely is up.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I think a number of things are contributing to that. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people probably wanted to list after capital gains changes, tenancy changes.
Yeah.
A lot of people that were sitting on the sidelines just going, hey, we're waiting for the market to pick up and then we're going to list.
Yeah.
Interest rates start to come down and they go, okay, it's time, right?
So you get like a mass flood of people all listing because everyone's watching the interest rates together.
Yep.
They see the drop. Everyone's like, list now. They're running to list.
Yeah.
Buyers may not be buying because they might be thinking, hey, there's more drops to come. Whether I buy today or I buy in 2025, I can afford to wait. So I'm going to wait for another 50 basis points or more.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the sellers are all rushing to the market, hoping the buyers have FOMO.
Yeah.
Which it feels like the buyers don't have FOMO yet.
But you know what I haven't seen a lot of prices coming down. I've seen a lot of sellers sticking to their guns.
Benchmark pricing's holding.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't gone down much, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if inventory stays high and buyers are still sitting on the sidelines. Well, we might see some changes.
It's like you almost got the yin and the yang effect happening right now where the sellers are like, interest rates fall, list.
Yeah.
The buyers are coming and buyers are like, we're not coming yet because we think there's still another 50 or 100 basis points to go over the next 16 to 18 months. We're just going to hold tight. And there was one report I was reading. I can't remember which economist it was. When the first 25 basis point drop came in June, they said that's going to stall the market versus heat it up because their philosophy was, we saw some better stats previously because buyers were just getting fed up and saying, you know what? Interest rates aren't coming off. I'll just go buy anyways. And the fact that they actually now started, they're like, whoa, oh, here we go. Okay, well, instead of me jumping in now, I'm going to wait 6 months to see where they go.
Mm-hmm.
And almost kind of hit a stall button on the market because now people are actually 1 foot in, might be 2 feet out now, watching the interest rates fall month after month or quarter after quarter, trying to time the bottom before they come back in.
Yeah.
So interesting things to say. I do think over time, you can't go wrong in Vancouver or BC in most markets because we have the geographical challenges we do in most markets. We have immigration, continued record-setting immigration coming in. We have costs of building and new building codes that are only going to push up the cost to produce a house, which again, like the tide raises all boats. That's going to raise the overall pricing in the market. That you can never probably really have a bad time. Arguably, there's a better time to get a better deal.
Yes.
But if you're playing the medium to long game, whether you buy today, 6 months from now, or you bought 6 months earlier, you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, I think all right. so too.
So speaking of that, on the show today, we have Nick Renton joining us from our Kelowna office. And why we reached out to Nick to join us is that's in a market that has continued to be really, really busy, even during some of the other markets that we've seen throughout the province maybe haven't been as busy. So we wanted to bring Nick on the program and wanted to ask him, why is Kelowna feel like it's bucking the trend versus other markets that we see? And keep in mind too, I get the advantage of what seeing seven offices from like a 30,000 feet up type approach. And that's an office that has continued to see transactions and large transactions sell when maybe some of the other offices haven't seen the same type of transactions transact in the different asset classes. That we wanted to bring Nick on to find out why is Kelowna still seem like it's bucking the trend. Without further ado, our episode with Nick Renton, William Wright Commercial, Kelowna.
All right, let's go.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
All right, today we have Nick Renton from William Wright Kelowna's office joining us. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Corey. Thanks for having me on.
And Nick, this is your first time on the program that we're so pleased to have you. So can you maybe let our guests know more about yourself and maybe how you got into real estate?
Yeah, for sure. So I just actually passed 2 years with William Wright here in Kelowna. Before getting into the commercial real estate space, I was in commercial banking, commercial lending for about 12 years through various charter banks and credit unions locally here in the Okanagan. One of the things that a lot of my clients told me about was just, I had a pretty good sense of real estate, a pretty good sense of what was needed for a lot of clients to find spaces for their businesses. So that led me in the direction of maybe taking the step and helping them with that process as well. And now here I am.
Well, Nick, we're pleased to have you in our Kelowna office. And if you ever want to build a brokerage, finding great guys in the commercial banking sector are big assets. Why? Because they know all the building owners. So Nick has come on and he's been a tremendous help to that office. Done very, very well. Nick, Kelowna's been a market. It feels like, I don't want to say has bucked the trend, but it feels like even through some of the slower times we've had, Kelowna still managed to produce transactions. Why do you feel Kelowna from a regional standpoint? Maybe we'll go outside of Kelowna because everyone makes the mistake thinking Kelowna is that market. But that regional market that you guys operate is a lot bigger than Kelowna. So can we start there? Like, break down the Okanagan market for us.
For sure. Yeah. So as you alluded to there, a lot of people think Kelowna, similar to how they think of Victoria or how they think of Vancouver, as sort of a one name for one region. The central Okanagan consists of, West Kelowna, Kelowna, Lake Country, and then, the little pockets in between, West Bank First Nation, Okanagan Indian Band. So there's lots of different pockets of business that's in the region. And what we have found is coming into COVID, there was such a growth in population boom into the area, which brought, new people, but also brought new families, also brought new businesses. Retirees started making this their permanent home. So the population in the region grew, but the inventory of especially commercial property wasn't quite there. So it sucked up a lot of the available inventory during that window, and we're still kind of playing catch up for all asset classes for the most part. When you mentioned lots of transactions, that definitely has been the case. Our office has seen a ton of leasing, not so much on the sales side, but I think that's across the board. But yet primarily it's because the inventory available for the growth that we've seen over the last 3 to 4 years just hasn't quite caught up. So when something good comes to market, there's quite a bit of demand for it, especially in the local area downtown in Kelowna, but as well in Lake Country, Vernon, Penticton. If the site is the right one, you're going to see a lot of interest with it.
Well, one thing I think looking at the numbers over the years, development land was obviously a big one in Kelowna for a while. It felt like industrial was a continued big one because the vacancy rate was so late, so low on both sides of the leasing and the acquisition side. But obviously, interest rates have impacted that. Is there an asset class where you guys are seeing more transactions and more activity right now, or is industrial still seem to be the leader?
Yeah, so the industrial one has been an interesting one. For those who follow the region, they're probably quite well aware there's been several projects come online in the area over the last 18 months, and there are a few more to come as well. You know, when COVID hit, you know, we still talk about COVID because it had such a dramatic effect on the region here, but a lot of demand was, again, sucked up because people needed warehousing to bring in inventory that they couldn't get overseas or they couldn't bring into the country. And so there was a large opportunity for developers to come in, take up all of the available land, and then build a lot of these projects. Unfortunately, between the interest rates and, in my opinion, some of the sizing that was created, it's tough for owner-occupiers in today's economic environment to financially make it make sense for them. So, you know, between the shortage of investors available, but also the sizing for some owner-occupiers in the region, the industrial market's definitely taken a bit of a break. There's going to be demand down the road for sure. There's just not enough space for this foreseeable future for businesses that are coming to the market. So that inventory will get caught up. But in terms of the active side of the business here, by far and away, it's the retail side of it. The city of Kelowna, especially, there just hasn't been a lot of new retail commercial spaces built in the city over probably the last 10 to 15 years. Most of the space is existing and it's turnover from existing businesses to new businesses. And so when we have this big growth of new businesses into the area, there's just a heightened demand for those, you know, 1500 to 2000 square foot, you know, leasing opportunities that have parking, that are close to the highway, that are near residential communities. And, you know, you can ask any commercial realtor in the city, if something comes up that's in that range, yeah, that listing agent's going to have quite a few calls that day. So
now, do you think some of that, and this is just maybe my own observation and not particular centered around the Kelowna or the Okanagan markets, but it feels like some of the secondary and tertiary markets that got a lot of exposure because of COVID, like Vancouver Island, which is obviously trending in the right direction, COVID pushed that market up. Same with you guys just experiencing in the South Okanagan there. Is if I look at it from a development standpoint, the cost probably to acquire the land, to acquire the land is so much more than what it was maybe 3, 4, or 5 years ago. I arguably have record-setting construction costs, and I've got extremely high interest rates that I got to use to service the debt, which granted they are coming down, but we're still wildly ahead of where we were. Yet, so if, let's just say for mathematical purposes, let's just say my acquisition, my construction, and my interest, my overall costs have increased by 100 or 150% to produce the same product I could have done 3 or 4 years ago at a different cost. Yet my lease rates may have only grown by 15, 20, or 25%. Do you feel there's a big disconnect that maybe has sort of stalled some growth, maybe say in the retail side of it in the downtown Kelowna market, because the cost to produce the product is far greater, yet lease rates haven't maintained pace from an investment standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about it a lot in our office here about the feasibility of so many different sites and what you need to build on those sites to make them financially viable. You know, the city, for the most part, has done a pretty good job of ensuring that commercial remains in the bottom of any new residential building. You know, they create that sort of central walkable area on the front of their buildings throughout the region, you know, specifically in Rutland or Lakeshore or, you know, downtown as well. But it's just the reality. It's, you know, it doesn't make sense for somebody to build a single story strip mall anymore. So what you're seeing is a lot of these places either taking larger, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 square foot box store types of spaces, demising them down to 2 or 3 units to increase the amount of available units, but try and meet the demand for that sizing. You know, what we're seeing for the most part is a lack of developers creating new inventory in that retail space, which, you know, is going to continue, I believe. You know, I don't think we have any new projects in the region that are standalone retail spaces. You know, we have some exciting new stuff that's coming down in the South Okanagan, some projects here in Kelowna as well, that's going to be filling up a small portion of available demand. But it's at the end of the day, you know, there's not going to be a new mall built. There's not going to be, you know, a new shopping center built if the land costs are just not feasible to make that type of transaction make sense anymore.
Well, I think that goes back to one thing that we continue to say on this program, and I think we echo it throughout the company, is that the cost to produce existing assets are so expensive now in today's world that they become a very attractive because the tides will raise all boats. That as the new product gets built or newer product comes in, or you have a surge on population that's going to put further pressure on the existing spaces that are available, driving up lease rates, that it's going to raise the cost of the actual buildings of these older ones because you can't produce them and the rents will eventually drive up, that they become a more attractive asset in short term, maybe versus brand new product, because the brand new product you're paying $900 a foot or $950 a foot versus I can buy an existing asset maybe at like $650 or $700 a foot because I'm buying multiple units together. You're chuckling there. Am I completely off base at $600-$700? Is it more like $1,000?
No, I'm chuckling in just in the sense where, you know, most of the development that we're going to see over the next probably 2 to 3 years is going to be a reconstruction of existing property.
Gotcha.
You know, you were sort of alluding to the cost of new builds and sort of, you know, what the landscape will look like. What we're seeing in the Okanagan for sure is conversions of existing industrial space to new uses, conversions of larger retail spaces to demising to smaller units, retrofitting existing commercial buildings, whether they used to be for office or for industrial, into, you know, just different uses. And, you know, I know we've talked about it quite a bit, and my colleagues in the area, it's so difficult to replicate, as you mentioned, existing buildings in the area that, you know, it's so difficult to add office space or retail space where you can sort of forecast the demand for those areas and make it make sense before you put the shovels in the ground.
So a question I have, and we kind of see that we've seen this happen in other markets that have gone through this generational growth phase, is the question becomes with the existing supply and the supply that's getting built, is that kind of pent up demand? Or is that ongoing demand? And I'd be curious to get your take, because you obviously live in the region there, to see, like, as there's been new product built on, has that been absorbed relatively quickly? And is it continuing to be absorbed relatively quickly with new other projects and new spaces that come available? Or is that absorption starting to slow down, which then the argument could be made, it's pent up demand that's getting flushed out and maybe not ongoing demand moving forward?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed is it really is the demand is in very specific, we'll call it tranches or channels of the economy. I wouldn't say there's a pent-up demand across all properties and all asset classes. It can be even very much specific to a square footage size or a type of industrial unit. You know, for example, a lot of my clients are struggling to find spaces that are, you know, 2,500 square feet or less, that have both front and rear door access, or dock loading. You know, dock loading is very tricky to find in the Okanagan when it's in a space that's, you know, not 10,000 square feet. So, you know, the newer product tailors to the demand, then it typically is snapped up pretty quickly. And that's the same for, you know, the retail space as well. If you're putting in new CRU units at the bottom of a residential, you know, 6-story wood frame building on a traffic corridor, where there's either a foot traffic or vehicle traffic, or there's parking, you know, those are going to be in general snapped up very quickly. There's just such a high demand for that. However, if you're looking at more, you know, maybe secondary areas of the city where, you know, it's either been overdeveloped already, and you're trying to fit in a new development that, you know, the area around there is already saturated, you're probably going to have a harder time. The cost of infilling these spaces for tenant improvements, you know, the costs of starting a new business in these areas can be prohibitive. So your buyer pool can, you know, shrink a little bit if your product is not meeting the demands of the area. So that's for sure the thing I notice the most is the right product at the right price goes very quickly. The product that's, you know, not quite in demand and requires a lot of capital to bring it up to a new business's requirements has definitely been sitting a little bit longer.
One thing I'd be curious to get your take on, and we see this happen as certain markets grow. So we talked about at the start of the program there that, you know, everyone associates the Okanagan with Kelowna. I'd be really interested to get your take on maybe other markets within the region that aren't Kelowna that potentially might have a lot of opportunity attached to them. Because what you typically will see is, you know, Kelowna becomes very expensive, people get priced out of the market. Others, sometimes these subsidiary communities start benefiting by that because you get more and more people moving into those communities, more and more retailers, and follow the population growth. I'd be curious to get your take on other communities besides Kelowna that you're excited about in the Okanagan.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to school in Victoria as well and lived there for a long time. And quite a bit of similarities between Victoria and Kelowna. You know, a lot of people, when they come to the BC and West Coast, they say, you know, Kelowna, Victoria are my two kind of favorite places if I wasn't in Vancouver. And the big thing is the municipality count. So, you know, when you go to the CRD in Victoria, there's 7, 8, 9 municipalities in a very small area. And it's relatively similar in the Okanagan. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you have, you know, West Kelowna, Summerland, Peachland, Penticton, Okanagan Falls, then you head north and you have, you know, Lake Country, Winfield, Vernon, Armstrong, Enderby. All of a sudden, you have all of these different municipalities, and they have different zoning, they have different development timelines, they have different capacity to support projects. So, you know, one of the things that we've noticed the most is when you're heading into these secondary markets, it's the same type of conversation we've been having so far on this call, is there just has been such little development of commercial property in the Okanagan over the last 5 to 10 years that there's, you know, if the city can accommodate the development requirements, you know, places like Lake Country and Vernon and, you know, what we're seeing down at Penticton, those city councils and the city staff are working very hard to try and create more density in central areas and create the infrastructure available to make these properties in these cities more year-round. One of the hits on, say, Vernon or Lake Country or Penticton is they're typically a seasonal area. You go to Penticton in the summer, the beautiful beaches, the beautiful wineries, same with Vernon, the golf courses and the mountains. But typically, you know, in the winter, those were more of a quieter space. What we're seeing for sure is a much bigger investment in the cities in those areas to generate more year-round activity. And it's been fantastic to see, because you're starting to see the trickle-down effect of these larger groups checking out these different tertiary secondary cities in the Okanagan and, you know, putting their money where their mouth is and investing a large amount of capital into these regions to, you know, find ways to grow where it's a little less expensive. You know, we have a couple of local companies here that are building some fairly big projects in Vernon for the hospitality space. And then, you know, our project down in Penticton, the innovation district with Rocky and, you know, Strike Group and Tian Share, you know, that is probably the biggest project in the Okanagan and will be for some time. And, you know, those types of investments just weren't there before COVID or 5 years ago. It's the market has changed, and it's very exciting to be a part of.
Well, speaking of putting your money where your mouth is, if you had unlimited funds, but you had to buy in the Okanagan, I'd be really curious where Nick Renton would put his money and why.
Oh, that's a skill testing question. Right now, I would say if you can find some form of retail strip center, whether it's in Penticton or Vernon or Kamloops, something that has a little bit of, you know, paint needed, some parking lot updates, some tenants that have been there for some time, and find a way to refurbish that space and make it something for a long-term asset, that's probably where I direct my attention, just based on the amount of calls that I receive and the amount of activity that we see for those types of properties. And, you know, I call on sites all the time down in Penticton, even here in Kelowna and Vernon. And I know that their phones are ringing off the hook all the time, because it takes them about a week to get back to me on certain leases and listings. So that's probably where I would direct my capital, primarily because of, you know, just high demand for that type of space. The service industry, you know, has clearly shown that it can make it through all of the internet, you know, the e-commerce businesses, all of that. It, you know, a retail shop is no longer, you know, a clothing store all the time. It's, you know, it's your nail salons, it's your quick service restaurants, it's your dollar stores, it's those types of places that are going to be in demand and need in perpetuity. So that's where I would direct my capital right now, in the Okanagan, at least.
I would second that, because one thing we've been very bullish on the show, the program here, but also through William Ray and all the reports we put out, is this is like the year of retail, because retail coming off of COVID probably wasn't the most ideal situation. And one of the challenges with retail, and again, maybe this has impact on like the slower sales previous years, maybe not, but banks and appraisers always look at historical data. And they're typically making financial decisions on historical data, not future data that doesn't exist, where you'll find a lot of the really smart investors in any asset class are always looking forward, not back. So I think that's what, and again, I'm not saying this is what maybe had impact on why that didn't sell as much, but I agree. Single story, well-positioned retail, there'll always be a need for it. Because even coming out of COVID, the mom and pop shops may not have survived that sell tie-dye t-shirts or something like that. But Starbucks isn't going to brew coffee in my house. My dentist isn't going to come, you know, do a root canal in my house. All of this stuff, I have to go to this. So the face of retail has changed and landlords have become smarter with that. But the need for that retail footprint is still going to exist until you said, to your point there in perpetuity, is some of these retail spaces are going to be needed forever and ever and ever. And because the cost to now produce the retail space is so much more money than what it was in previous years, it makes it very hard for new projects to come online to absorb the need for, to absorb the demand for retail, that the existing stuff just tends to become more valuable, thus driving up retail rates.
Yeah, and I would also piggyback on that comment coming from my sort of lending background and business banking background is, A, the revenue available on these properties is typically a bit higher than, say, an industrial class or even an office class, especially lately.
Yep.
So your financing metrics are going to be a little bit stronger because of the lease rates that you can acquire. But also, in general, you know, because these are small businesses, because these are either potentially national tenants, you know, the individual spaces are typically kept in very solid condition. You know, these people, it's their business, it's their livelihoods. They want to make sure that it looks good, it's well kept, and it's attractive for people to come into the spaces. So in terms of, you know, capital requirements for maintenance and repairs compared to, say, a heavy industrial building or office space where there's a ton of HVAC across, you know, 15 floors, typically it's your standard parking lots, your roofs, your, you know, your units, your foundational, maybe, you know, things like that. But your capital and maintenance costs for these types of buildings are much less in, you know, based on my conversations with these landlords, comparable to other types of asset classes as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And one thing we haven't touched on, which plays impact in different markets more impactfully than others, but also future development of the potential stuff, because sometimes you find big, big parking lots with small retail that creates an opportunity. Sometimes you find these great retail locations and strip malls located around transit-oriented stuff. So the ability to maybe have a mid to long-term development play on some of this land can also be a bonus that you may not find that same opportunity like an existing office building or maybe an industrial park based on location and proximity to where you typically would find retail in high traffic areas.
Yeah, exactly.
So Nick, we know you guys are extremely busy up there, and we wanted to take some time out of your day today to kind of recap and tell us about the market there. I really appreciate that. But before we let you go here, we have a 6-pack of lighthearted questions we got to ask all of our guests before we let you go. Do you have a few minutes for us?
Yeah, for sure.
The 6-pack is powered by our good friends over at Redpoint Law.
Redpoint Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna. All right, Nick, and this one we're going to go with the 7-pack for Nick today, because I'm going to throw a bonus one out. And I will preface this, is when I find myself in the Okanagan offices, it's very likely that we usually end up our day on a golf course somewhere. And Nick, as gracious as he is, continues to wipe the floor with everyone in the office, including myself, when we're out there playing. So Nick, I'm going to start us off here with favorite golf course in the Okanagan, and we're going to give you A and B. One would be a Kelowna golf course because people might be able to relate to it better, and B will give you an Okanagan golf course that you can go outside of the Kelowna region. So you get A and B options today.
See, you're also gracious because you know you're teeing this one up for me. So in the Okanagan region, we play Tower Ranch, or I play Tower Ranch. It's one of my favorite courses in the area here. You know, it's got a great group of people that run the property, and they have a, you know, a really good network of membership up there. However, my heart has to say the Rise in Vernon. I have a pretty deep family connection to the property, the golf course, and the development there. And there's some exciting new stuff that's coming down the line there with a brand new event center and building that's up there. So, you know, the Rise in Vernon, my favorite course, not just because I'm biased, but also it's just a ton of fun to play with amazing views. And I would direct anybody who's never played it to go there for sure.
And I've never had the pleasure of playing it yet, but the pictures I see online are spectacular.
Yeah. Well, the new event center is due to open next week on August long weekend. So the next time you're up there, we got to get you up.
Okay. That sounds like a deal. Next question up.
All right. Favorite vacation spot?
Ooh, probably Tofino. My wife and I got married in Ucluelet, and every time I'm out there, it's an amazing spot to disconnect, and you feel like you're on a different planet out there. And, you know, it can take a little bit of time to get there now that I'm in the Okanagan, but I would probably choose that over anywhere else.
I love that answer.
I think you tugged on Melissa's heartstrings there. She was like, "Aw," when you said Ucluelet in the wedding and stuff like that.
Well, because usually you'll get Hawaii, you'll get, you know, Caribbean, but Tofino. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Absolutely. Feels great.
All right, Nick, next question up. A book recommendation for our listeners doesn't necessarily have to be related to real estate, but it can be.
Ooh, yeah, I'll do the one. I've been listening to a ton of books on tape because obviously in the Okanagan, when I'm servicing all the different communities, I'm driving to Seminole and Penticton and all these places. I really liked the Matthew McConaughey Green Lights book. You know, it's a pretty high level approach to, you know, how to approach challenges in your life. And it does it in a way that it can be a bit cheesy from time to time based on how he delivers it, but it's just a really good reminder of how to approach challenges and also embrace the things that are fun in life. So.
And when you're listening to that, is it Matthew McConaughey reading it to you?
Yeah. And that's why I was excited about that one. I probably listened to about 20 books on tape in the last 2 months. And most of the time it's just some droning voice that, they've hired to do all these books, but it was Matthew McConaughey on that one.
All right. Next question up.
Next question. Favorite band or musician?
Ooh, I don't know why I didn't think of this before you. Nickelback. Well, that would be the easy answer for you. But surprisingly, I do enjoy Nickelback. It is a good band, but it would probably be something along the lines of Metallica.
Oh.
You know, similar to when I'm in the car and I've had a bad day, it's easier to turn that on really loud. So
Interesting. Didn't take you as Metallica fan, but good to know. Good to know. Next question up, Nick. Unfortunately, you've done something horribly wrong. You found yourself on death row, but you get one more meal before it's all said and done. What meal are you having?
Fettuccine Alfredo with the shrimp skewer.
Oh.
Oh.
Anywhere in particular? You said that so fast. Is there anywhere in particular you're getting that meal? Like, are you going to Red Lobster?
It used to be Boston Pizza. that was the place I used to go to all the time with my mom or dad whenever we were just like, what's the thing you want to do today that's just for you? And it was always fettuccine Alfredo with the shrimp skewer at Boston Pizza.
Oh, I love it.
Do they have one in Ucluelet? Melissa's getting ulterior-eyed over here
that. They have chain restaurants on over there. That's why it's even better.
Yes. No, they've got a really good one that's new. Pluvio, I think it's called.
Okay.
Anyways, that no Boston Pizza, but you're right. They're mom and
close
pop.
Second.
Very good. Very
close
good.
Second.
All right. Next question. You're handed a karaoke mic at a bar. You're drunk. What song are you singing?
Cover of a Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook.
Cover of a Rolling Stone by Dr. Hook.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, if you know the song, once it's on, you'll know it. It's my favorite part about that song is there's really no tune. Like, you don't have to be in tune. You can sing it loud. You can sing it quiet. It's best when you sing it with a bunch of different people at once. And it's only like 3 minutes long. Because that's the sneaky thing with karaoke. The one you don't want is like a 6 minute song where you're like waiting for bridges and you're waiting for the fifth chorus to run through and you're still standing there awkwardly.
Nick, you're speaking from, sounds like you have a lot of experience in karaoke.
I've dabbled.
Just dabbled.
I've queued it up. I'm going to listen to it right after the show. I got to hear this song.
All right, Nick, last question of the day. Are the Vancouver Canucks going to win the Stanley Cup in 2025?
Oh, I would like to say yes. They got to solidify their decor. They've lost some big, tall individuals, but I think Pettersson's going to have the year of his career, and I'm excited to see the team this year. Hopefully the ticket prices don't see the same high hopes that I have for the team.
Well, I think Pettersson doesn't have a choice when he's making that much money. Like, I think he took the playoffs off, so he's got some extra games left in him, so hopefully this is his big year.
You got to remember, the Sedins were picked on for multiple years when they first came into the league, and people don't realize how long it was until they became the stars, and I truly think he's on that same path.
But I don't think the Sedins were making $13 million bucks at that time, were they?
The house prices weren't also, $7 million bucks for a single-family home in East Van. So.
Well, now that you're related to that, we're going to give Pedersen a discount at 7.4 then, because we're taking the housing prices off of the top there. So Nick, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate all the great insight as always. Can you tell our listeners maybe more they can find about, get a hold of you and find out more what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm on LinkedIn, on Instagram, our William Wright website will direct you to both of those channels for me. I'm available 24/7 for the most part. And if you're ever in town and have questions about the region, want to play some golf, grab a coffee, I'm available anytime.
Excellent, Nick. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, Nick. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
There you have it, folks. Our interview with Nick Renton from William Wright Commercial Kelowna. Lots of good insight. As always, it's funny. He echoes kind of like we talked about, like retail and well-positioned retail and how it's a really good opportunity. He echoes that, but from the South Okanagan perspective. And we touched base a little bit more why we obviously touched base why we felt that way. One thing that I was really taken back with, not the fact that he listens to Metallica and not that Nick can't listen to Metallica, but he's just such a nice, genuine guy. Give your shirt off his back type of guy. I wouldn't think like devil horns in the car.
Right.
But hey. Hey, you know, he did say he liked Nickelback.
Did he?
Yeah, I think, well, I threw it out there for him. I think I kind of led the witness, but but Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
That's right.
So
cover of the Rolling Stone.
Cover of a Rolling Stone. So I never had heard that song before.
No, me neither.
Neither did you. So before we did our outro, we had to listen to it.
Yeah.
I'd definitely say you'd have to have a lot of wine or a lot of beer to get up to do that one. Not that it's a bad song. I don't want anyone to think the Nick's choice is a bad choice. I thought it was a great choice.
Everyone's looking it up right now.
Everyone's looking it up. It's cover of a cover of the Rolling Stone, as in the magazine.
That's right.
By Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Yep.
So we encourage all the listeners to go listen to it. Nick could be starting a trend here. You know, sometimes you get these old vintage songs that kind of catch on, like with a TikTok video or whatever.
Right.
We're starting that trend right now.
Get that guy a karaoke
with
mic.
Dr. Hook. And the Medicine Show, cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Thanks to Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
So Melissa, for all those people who want to sell or buy real estate with maybe a little bit more inventory and some more choice right now, can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can call me 778-869-4477 or email me at melissa@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And for all those that want to go to the darker side of the real estate world or the commercial world, you're welcome to reach out to us at William Wright Commercial. You can call our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Visit our website, williamwright.ca, or drop me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. Always love hearing from the guests. All right, guys. Thanks. Another great show. We look forward to bringing you some more shortly.
Have a good week.
Take care.
Subscribe today.